A reading from the book of James, chapter 5, 13 to 18. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make them well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. This is the word of the Lord.
I invite you to think about your superpowers this morning, those special gifts and talents that were given to you that may be hidden, and for others seem like otherworldly powers. For example, I think superpowers include those people who can figure out stats quickly, who can cook joyfully, or Drew and Becky learning to dance choreography in The Amazing Race. I don't know if you remember that video. They were superpowers. Malcolm often tells me that his superpower is crossing the street strategically without getting hit. I call it jaywalking. Dane, tell us what is your superpower?
I am not and have never been afraid of public speaking.
Amazing. Amazing. Karina. She enjoys teenagers. Woohoo!
They always enjoy me.
Right. I also prompted Jake. Is Jake here? Is he down with his kids? Is anybody else want to share their superpower? Comes to mind.
I have one.
Yes, Melody.
I'm really good at connecting with children.
Excellent. Really good at connecting with children. Great. That's good. Well, I'll tell you one that Malcolm suggested for me when I asked him what does he think my superpowers are. And he called it timidation. Not intimidation, but timidation, which is a word that he made up, which means non-threatening. And, you know, somehow intimidation sounds better than timid, which I am, and doesn't serve me well in some contexts. But it's also a superpower, especially in tricky, conflictual situations. So our theme for 3 weeks now, and this is the third week, the final week, is rebuilding in hope. And more about superpowers later. But this theme is based on some scriptures that were listened to and reflected on by a small group of people in our community, including our board members. There were two texts in Isaiah that spoke of visions and of hope, dreams of repairing and rebuilding and restoring. And Ellen spoke with us last week about letting go of our past ways to allow something new to be created here. And she directed us to the gospel and text that came to us of the living water that Jesus offers. Now, I was with the youth downstairs, so I wasn't able to hear everything that Ellen spoke. But when I came up here, I did hear her lovely grandmotherly wisdom, reminding us to be gentle with one another in our different paces as we move forward in rebuilding in hope. You know, we all have different needs and different paces going forward. So thank you for that, Ellen. Well, today we get to a letter Karina read for us in the New Testament. It's traditionally attributed to the brother of Jesus, James, but many scholars believe it was written by another teacher that just wanted to give reference to James, no matter. But the author writes in a very different style from our previous rebuilding scriptures. He is practical, he's concrete, and some of the themes of this letter that has five chapters overall are asking for God's wisdom and the importance of using our speech and language for good rather than destruction. So today's verses are just right at the conclusion of the letter, right at the end. And it isn't like a conclusion that Paul's letters generally are, where he does some acknowledgments, he talks about holy kisses, he gives some benedictions. This letter just kind of ends abruptly. Yet in this passage, he gives us some last punchy advice that actually sums up how to gain wisdom and how to use language well. And that overarching summary here is in prayer. In prayer. He speaks of prayer, as we heard so boldly, as being powerful and effective. James believes in prayer. Prayer is healing. Prayer is power. Prayers of the Spirit. When do we pray? James writes, in all circumstances, all conditions of your life. Pray when you're suffering. Pray when you're in trouble. Pray when you're full of joy. He says, sing songs of praise, which is a form of prayer. Pray when you are sick. Pray when you have sinned. Pray when you need healing. Pray in all these circumstances. And it seems like he could go on listing more and more situations for prayer. At every corner, at every straight road, at every mountain, at every valley we're in, pray. This is ultimate wisdom. This is the highest form of language that humans can utter. So this writer has a very, we noticed, solid faith in a compassionate God, and that God acts powerfully in our world. God listens to prayer. God's very real. God is alive in being a good listener. And God is someone who cares, someone who takes action. But for some of us, we may read this confident advice with skepticism, and for good experiential reasons too. But James, we ask, what about prayer that seems ineffective and weak? The prayer is seemingly not listened to. Or what about prayer prayed from someone who's not totally righteous, or someone who is not full of faith? What about those people who pray and pray and pray, and they are so faithful and they're so full of faith, and yet they don't get healed? And what about sins that are so shameful that we just can't confess to anyone? Some of you may really appreciate this practical advice that James is giving, and some of you may be wary of the implications of his advice. Because you have been told before that your prayer is ineffective, and your prayer you are at fault in your prayer. A lot of this advice has been pushed in churches, and it has brought great harm. So just jumping into believing that prayer is powerful and effective may not seem inviting to you. And for those who feel this way and carry wounds, and in some cases, very real spiritual abuse around prayer, I am saddened. I'm very saddened and deeply sorry as a church representative, because that is not right. You know, often a conclusion that we come to with prayer, that if it's not our fault, then it must be God's fault. God must be very, very cruel. Why then, when we pray, does God not seem to be listening nor intervening in our world? Very good questions that are really hard to answer. You know, a lot of what James is writing about here can be paralleled with, on the other hand. For example, James writes that the prayer of the righteous person is powerful and effective, and he uses Elijah as an example. On the other hand, what about Job? He was also a righteous person, and he prayed and prayed and prayed, And yet he wasn't powerful and effective in prayer. He still suffered, and his family suffered. James also writes that the prayer of faith, of full faith, will save the sick. On the other hand, Jesus encourages just small amounts of faith. You know, just like even a mustard seed will make a difference. So how can we approach this text charitably? You know, what is the underlying wisdom that we can understand here? James is suggesting that there is something very important about us coming to God in prayer. Coming to God in brokenness, in confession, in faith, in joy, with others, with symbols such as with oil. Prayer connects us to God and connects us to others. And at the same time, on the other hand, we don't have total power to control God in prayer. We don't always receive answers that sit well with us. You know, often in prayer, it's difficult to know where we begin and where God begins. Is it us? Or is it God doing the action? Is prayer up to us? Or is it God? It seems like both hands are involved, and we can never really tease it out clearly. James nevertheless calls us to pray, tells us there's something extremely important about prayer. Prayer gives wisdom. Prayer gives healing to communities, although it may seem like a mystery to us. The scripture talks about prayer as communal rituals and rhythms. And we here at Grandview, we live out the scripture every week. We come together to pray for the suffering and the sick among us, in ourselves, others, the world. We come together to express joy and gratitude in song. We come together to receive forgiveness and liberation from our confessions. We also occasionally anoint with oil, the symbol of being anointed with the Spirit. You know, in talking with the board about this scripture last June, one person was particularly drawn to this act of laying on of hands and anointing with oil. These ancient acts from the Old Testament prophets and kings, actions that Jesus did as well, laying on of hands to heal the sick. We know illness separates community, physically, socially. When we are unwell, we are not connected to community fully as when we are well. And I mean all kinds of unwellness, right? Mental unwellness and physical unwellness and spiritual and emotional unwellness. And we lived through with the world a very unwell patch during the pandemic. You know, all of us getting physically sick, many of us socially, mentally, spiritually sick, with the amount of anxiety and isolation that arose. And the effects are still rippling out. We are caring for people who are still affected by this. This writer calls us back to these prayer rituals as a balm for shame, for confession, for isolation, for physical sickness, with connection. Prayer is this communal act. It connects us to one another, and it connects us to God. And we are invited to pray to God when we're sad and when we're happy, like our full emotions, our whole selves, God invites us into. God wants relationship with. And we are invited to pray with others. It speaks of praying with our elders, those who have held faith longer than us. And James invites us here to not only confess to God alone, but actually to confess to somebody else, to one another, to find healing. Prayer is about this vulnerable connection to God and to one another. And there's healing in this kind of prayer. Perhaps our superpower is bringing all that is wrong with us and the world out into the open with one another and offering these rituals of prayer. We bring into this place on Sunday mornings our sin, the sickness, the suffering, the death. And we connect to God about it, and we connect with one another about it. In this very seemingly ineffective and helpless act, we are in fact receiving healing and spirit power. I want to tell you a story from my time in Myanmar. Myanmar, Burma is in Southeast Asia. I tell this story because sometimes prayer is often the only superpower for those who live in poverty. You know, we are used to accessing most of our needs all the time. We get our comforts and our needs met through wealth here in North America. Those in poverty are much closer to understanding and believing this scripture in James. I was part of a contemplative community there. There were two of us. And we prayed a lot those days. We had daily rhythms of contemplative prayer, and we prayed for others that we knew around us. Well, there was a lovely man that we met in this neighborhood who was a mango seller. He pulled around a wooden cart on wheels and sold mangoes all day and into the evening, every single day, mainly around our apartment complex. And as part of my language learning routine, I walked around the neighborhood quite a bit. I'm just talking to anyone who would give me a smile or would open up their home. So one Sunday morning, I was walking to church. It was about 45 minutes out of the neighborhood. And I ran into this fruit seller friend outside of the neighborhood. He was so happy to see me. I was so happy to see him. And apparently I was close to his house. So he invited me to his house to meet his six-month-old grandson. So he brought me down this narrow lane and into this partition of a wooden house, where he lived there with his wife, his six-month-old grandson, his son, and two nieces in this very small place. Eventually, my very meager language ability began to grow, and after weeks and months, I found out more about this family. This grandchild's young mother was mysteriously paralyzed after her birth, and she couldn't walk. She lost her job. And my friend would kind of get a glazed over look in his eyes whenever he talked about his daughter-in-law, and always would comment, you know, it's not easy being poor. So over months, our friendship continued, extended to his family. I frequently went to his house to eat with his wife and play with his grandson. I then was able to visit the daughter-in-law in the hospital. I was learning about the horrible health system there, the stress of her illness on her family, and feeling at a huge loss at what to do, how to help my friend. Well, Ruth and I, we began praying every day for this daughter-in-law. And we told our friend, we're praying for your daughter-in-law every day. And every time I saw him, which was every day, I'd ask how she was doing and say, we're praying for her. And we really were praying. We really felt such a desire for something to happen, quite for her. So several months passed. She was finally admitted to a larger hospital. She was waited for, she was put in a waiting line for getting possible surgery. And one day my friend looked me in the eye and he said, thank you for praying. Every time I see you, you tell me that you're praying. Thank you very much. And almost a year later, after so much waiting, this daughter-in-law came home post-surgery, and miracle of miracles, was walking again. He told us that 17 people had had the surgery, and she was the only one that came out to walk. The use of her legs, of course, allowed her to walk again to help support her family. As we move towards rebuilding in hope together, I suggest prayer, Grandview. The praying that James is talking about here, prayers for the sick and suffering, prayers of praise, prayers of confession, prayers of confession and healing, prayers with anointing of oil, prayers of faith. I suggest let's pray. Let's pray more. This superpower is not about praying perfectly or well, but in this prayer, we connect with God and one another vulnerably. Prayer is not ours to control, and we do have some control by praying together. This is not all we're doing to rebuilding hope, but this is one of our superpowers. Prayer is meant for healing communities. So I want to end with one other rebuilding in hope scripture. We didn't have time to really delve into it these weeks, but there's a story in Acts 3 that came to us in our praying that is for us too. It's the story of a beggar who is not able to walk, and he was sitting outside the temple asking for money. Of course, this is the prayer of the beggar to ask for money. There's nothing else the beggar can see that will help him more. If he has money, he can buy food. He can buy medicine. Well, in this story, in Acts, Peter and John were going up to the temple to pray at 3 p.m. in the afternoon, and they saw this man begging. And Peter said to him, "I have no silver and gold, but what I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And at that moment, his ankles and his feet were strengthened so that he began to walk and skip and leap with joy. Something far more was given to this beggar than he was even asking for. His ankles and his feet were strengthened, and he was given the power to walk. You know, that's far more empowering than money for daily bread. Perhaps that's the way that we can live into praying Grandview, as beggars, bringing that little faith we have, or that little hope we have, and asking God for one thing in this rebuilding time. However, you know, God is the kind of God who will answer our prayers by strengthening our ankles and strengthening our feet so that we will be able to walk and jump and leap for joy. A rebuilding of hope far bigger than we can imagine or ask for. So let's be like beggars, Grandview. Let's be like beggars in prayer, which is in fact our superpower, our God-given superpower, and we'll see what God does among us. Amen. Pray with me now. Creator God, loving God, we come to you today and acknowledge that you are our hope, our living water, our life, and we come as beggars today. We don't know how to pray, and we forget to pray, and we don't believe in prayer. So we come to you as beggars, and we ask for the grace to pray so we can be healed. Healed to you and to one another. Rebuild us. Repair us, restore us with the hope and vision that you have for us. Amen.